Shiva, by Bob and Susan Chambray. Tonight is actually the Yahrzeit, Susan's father, Moshe Noach Ben Yisrael.
I remember many years ago when the yeshiva used to have a Chag HaSmicha every 2-3 years. So Dr. Belkin would speak briefly. He had a lot of content, but he wasn't such a good public speaker. And then he would introduce Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik gave a major address over an hour every time. I remember on one occasion, Rav Soloveitchik, he always picked a different topic. Chag HaSmicha. So I remember on one occasion, I was in high school. It was a long time ago. So he spoke about the fact that the Rabbanim in America get telephone calls and they're expected to paskin major shilas over the telephone. So he said that he just got a telephone. He said major shilas that if they would present them to Rab Chaim Oizer in Europe, Rab Chaim Oizer would have to spend a week and think about it seriously and then write a tshuva. And then write at the end that he's only mekel provided another two Gdoli Hayroah would agree with him. And the Rabbanim in America get these telephone calls and they're expected to answer right away on the telephone. So he gave a mashal that he just got a phone call from a woman. Her husband is not fertile and she wants to know, can she have artificial insemination from somebody else? So Rav Soloveitchik said, I don't know. And then the woman said, what do you mean you don't know? But he told me that you're the biggest rabbi in America. You're the chief rabbi in America. I don't know. Ich weiß nicht. The whole drasha was in Yiddish. Ich weiß nicht. Kept on saying, ich weiß nicht. Then the woman said, but I already have one child from artificial insemination for somebody else. He meant to tell me that the child may be a mamzer. So he said, ich weiß nicht. Could be, ich weiß nicht. He didn't know. He really didn't know. By him, there was a possibility that the child, if they had artificial insemination from someone other than the husband, could be that the child is a mamzer. There were gedolim who held like that. Over 100 years ago, there was a great goyim in Poland, Rabbi Yosef Engel, who died over 100 years ago. They already had artificial insemination then. So he writes, there was a period of time that he had trouble with his eyes. He couldn't see well, so he wasn't able to read. So he had somebody read for him, but he couldn't read Gemara, a hard thing, so he had to read something easy. He had Avne Miluim. If you know what Avne Miluim is, that's the comments of the Ktzos HaChosh and Avne Ezer. That was an easy reading. So he had someone read to him from Avne Miluim, and he would dictate comments, so the other fellow would write down the comments of Reb Yosef Engel. So then when he recovered, and he was able to read, so he looked through the notes that the other fellow had written, and every comment had a number on it, so it was the safer. The manuscript was printed in America many years ago. Now they printed in the Avne Miluim. It's called Chosen Yosef, the Ha'oris of Rabbi Yosef Engel on the Avne Miluim. So when he saw the manuscript, so he crossed out here and there a comment. So it goes 1, 2, 3, 11, 12, 13, 18, 19, 26, 27. The paragraphs that he didn't like, he crossed out, and the one who printed it printed those that he didn't cross out. So he has it not safe. He quotes a Tosfos at the end of the first perek in Yevamos. It's the last Amud Beis in the first perek in Yevamos. Yevamos ends on an Amud Aleph, so the last Amud Beis. Tosfos has one opinion, and they think that's the correct opinion, that it's possible for a child to be a mamzer, even though the parents are living the heter. And neither of the parents is a mamzer. It's possible to create mamzeris. That apparently the definition of mamzeris, the Ibn Ezra writes in his commentary on Chumash, that the word mamzer is a combination of two words, me'aim zar, from a strange mother. So if a man and a woman give birth to a child, and the nature of the husband and the man and the woman are that they couldn't have had kiddushin with each other, even if they tried, let's say a brother and a sister, and kiddushin tovsin. So that happens to be Gili Arayis, but even if it would be, let's say, a non-Jew lives with a Jewish woman. So we paskin, like the Chachamim, that it's not mamzeris. But Rabbi Akiva thinks that the child is a mamzer. So Tosfos Tainis, but ben HaTorah, it's mutter in certain cases, only osam of the Rabbanon in certain cases. So Tosfos says, so what? If the father and the mother couldn't have had Tvisis Kiddushin, that's Me'ein Zar. So that's defined as a mamzer. So Rabbi Yosef Engel said, even if you have artificial insemination, nobody violated anything about Gili Arayis. they couldn't have Tfisis Kedushin if the sperm donor is a Jewish man. If it's a non-Jew, so again, it wouldn't be mamzer. Like if a non-Jew has an affair with an Eish HaSish, so then is it the child is not a mamzer. But if it would be a Jewish person, other than her husband, and he couldn't have had Tfisis Kedushin because she's an Eish HaSish, Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks that the child will be a mamzer. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said he was saying for years he's not sure, he doesn't know what the din is, whether the child will be a mamzer or not. And then one year we were studying Yevamos in the yeshiva. Yevamos has a lot about the definition of mamzeris. So this topic came up. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said he understands that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva that it's not a mamzer. Let's not discuss it. Let's leave it like that. He didn't want to discuss the raya's pro and con. He just said, Rav Moshe said it's not a mamzer, so he'll assume that Rav Moshe had a divine assistance to paskin properly. Let's not discuss it anymore. That was the end of the topic. But this is really Rav Moshe's opinion has generally been accepted. At the time that Rav Moshe came up with the psak, that it's permissible to have artificial insemination from someone else, and the child will not be a mamzer. So at that time, the Satmar Rebbe organized a whole campaign against Rav Moshe Feinstein. He didn't come in person. He sent a whole group, a representation of Hungarian rabbis, to argue with Rav Moshe. But he told them, better prepare yourselves well in learning, because Rav Moshe Feinstein is a big Talmud Chacham. So when you want to come screaming at him, so make sure you know what you're talking about. So they didn't prepare themselves. And Rav Moshe wiped the floors with them, because he showed all the Gemaras and all the Taisus and everything. But the Satmar Rebbe still held his position that it's not permissible, and he thought that the child is a mamzer. He even thought that the woman is not permitted to remain married with her husband. Just like if a married woman has an affair with someone else, she becomes a soita, a suula bailo. So the Satmar Rebbe even thought so far that the woman, even though she wasn't intimate with the other person, he thought the woman would become a soita. So this is really a big question, whether if the child is a mamzer. The generally accepted opinion today is that the child is not a mamzer. But Moshe Feinstein even goes further. He says, not only does artificial dissemination not create mamzeris, one can say, yeah, because the definition of a mamzer is if the parents violated Gilui Arayis. Yeah, they didn't violate, they weren't intimate with the child, they didn't violate Gilui Arayis, so they're not a mamzer. What if you have a situation, the father is a mamzer and the mother is not? Let's say a man is a mamzer, so his children are all going to be mamzerim. So the minchas chinuch is not sure whether there's a mitzvah piriv rivya. Does he have a mitzvah to get married and have children? All of the children will be mamzer. Who's he going to marry? The mamzer is going to have to marry either a mamzeris, that's permissible, or to marry a giyoris. A mamzer is permitted to marry a giyoris, but the children will be mamzer. So minchas chinuch is not sure. Is there a mitzvah piriv rivya on the part of a man who's a mamzer? The women are not mechuyev to have children. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But the men are obligated to fulfill piriv rivya. So is there an obligation when the man is a mamzer, the children are all going to be mamzer, even if he marries a giyoris? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush that, let's say, a mamzer marries a giyoris, and they practice birth control all the time, and then when they're interested in having children, they have artificial dissemination from the husband. So Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush that not only does artificial dissemination not create mamzeris, you can't initiate mamzeris by it, even if the husband is a mamzer, and then you have artificial insemination with his own wife, the children will not be mamzer. That's quite a chiddush. The first half of what he said, that it doesn't create mamzeris, because nobody violated Gilui Arayis. But if the husband is a mamzer, and you have artificial insemination, that the child is not a mamzer, that's a big chiddush. But Moshe doesn't really prove it, that's what he says. So there is room to explain, Rav Moshe doesn't say what I'm going to say, there is room to explain why this should be so, because of the following. It may seem a little humorous, but these are discussions that the Poskim had. The Chacham Tzvi was a Poskim who lived in the 1600s, the early 1700s. He was an Ungarische, but then because there were wars going on, so he traveled from one place to the other. He was in London, he was in Amsterdam, he was in many different areas. He didn't last too long in any of the cities. He was too honest. He always was outspoken. He always expressed his opinion, and he wasn't a politician, so they didn't keep him too long in any rabbanis. So the Chacham Tzvi writes that he had a grandfather who his mother's father was known as a Baal Shem. Not the famous Baal Shem, but a different Baal Shem. He tells you what city he was from. I forgot the name. He tells you the name. And they say that his grandfather created a Goylem. The Gemara says that the Rava Bar Gavra, the Gemara Sanhedrin tells that Rava knew how to use Sefer Yetzirah, and he created a Goylem. So they say that his grandfather created a Goylem. And then he wasn't happy with the Goylem, so he killed the Goylem. So the Gemara tells the same about Rava. Rava Bar Gavra, Rava made a Goylem, and then he couldn't carry on conversation. Goylem didn't have the ability to speak, so he killed the Goylem. So the Chacham Tzvi writes, he's not sure whether the Goylem could be mitzuruf to a minion. If you have nine men, you have nine Jewish men, and you have the Goylem who was created by a Jew, we have a statement in the Gemara called Hamalamed Ben Chavera Torah Malalakasu Kili Yelodov. If you teach Torah to someone else's child, it's considered as if you gave birth to the child. So what does it mean, considered as if you gave birth to the child? So the Paskin quote this la'alocha, that if one is not fertile and he can't, well, one is single and he doesn't have any children, one is, the couple is married, they can't have children for some reason or another, they should adopt children, and one should support a yeshiva. Malamed is ben chaveret Torah, that'll be a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah peribrib. If you adopt a child and you teach him Torah, it's a partial fulfillment. Kilu yilodo. So the Chachman Tzvi raises a possibility that since it's kilu yilodo, so Malamed is ben chaveret Torah, so maybe if I make a goylem, kilu yilodo, so since I'm Jewish, and maybe the goylem is Jewish. And if you adopt a non-Jewish child, he becomes Jewish without conversion? Of course not. The whole idea is so wild. So the Chacham, the Chacham Tzvi has such a sophic in his tshuvas. The Be'heted in Shulchan Aruch on Siman Nun Hey in Aruch Chaim, when it says that in order to recite the Dovish Bikdusha, you have to have a minion. That in order to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu Chazoros Hashatz and Kriyas Hatera and so on, you need a minion. So the Be'heted quotes the sophic from the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva, whether a Goylem can be mitzuruf to a minion, he was created by a Jewish person. So the Chazanish writes a comment on that. He says the whole suffix is ridiculous. The Gemara says that he killed him. Rava Bar Gavra, Rava made a golem, he knew Sefer Yetzirah, and then he killed him. He said, if it's a human being, how can he kill a human being? He says, not only is he not Jewish, he's not a human being, b'chlal. And the grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi also, he also killed his golem. So how can he have a suffix if he's Jewish? He's not a goy either. He's not Jewish, he says. In order to be a human being, you have to be born from a mother. If you mix together chemicals and you make a person, that's not called a human being. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. This is also famous. This is a big discussion they have now. They're taking cells of meat and they're imitating the way the animal reproduces the cells. So you take cells of meat and you can reproduce, you can have many more cells develop. And the meat will be much less expensive than the meat in the stores. So far, it costs $10,000 for a little hamburger. But they expect, because it's still in the development process. But after they're going to develop it, so it's going to be much less expensive than real meat. And they say you won't have to raise so many animals, and the globe will be less, the air will be less polluted, and everything will be wonderful and marvelous. So the shaila is whether that flesh is really fleshy. Is it really fleshy or not? So on last week's Sedra, the Malbim has a comment, and Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna, who was the Magia on the Vilna Shas, he was a dayan in Vilna in the late 1800s, Shlomo LeVilna has Horus in the back of the Vilna Shas, Cheshik Shlomo, and has Horus in the back of Yeridea. So in the end of Yeridea, they have this Horus, that if someone made a behema with Sefer Yetzirah, instead of having a behema born from a female behema, he mixes together chemicals, he mixes things together with Sefer Yetzirah. You know the secret of making behemoths. So that's a parav. It's not considered flesh, because the Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu served Ben Abaka she'osu Avraham, he gave flesh, and he gave chema v'cholav, he gave cheese, he gave butter, and he gave milk. So the Medrash says, how can he give basa v'cholav to the Malachim when they came? So the Malbim has a comment, since it says Ben Abaka she'osu Avraham, means that he created the Ben Abaka with Sefer Yetzirah. Whenever you make with Sefer Yetzirah, so that's parah, that's not considered flesh. So that's what some of the poskim apply this idea over here, that if someone fathers a child the normal way, by being intimate with a woman, so then the child is related to him. He has a father. But if the child is born through artificial insemination, so that's like using Sefer Yetzirah. You're mixing together chemicals and you make a baby. So he's not called the father. The mother is called the mother. The mother carried, mother's like any mother. She carried the baby if the fertilization of the egg began in her body by artificial insemination. We'll get to IVF. Artificial insemination, the fertilization of the egg occurred in her womb, and then she carries the baby for 9 months, so of course she's the mother. But as far as determining that the father is the father, the donor of the zera is the father, so many poskim held that he's not considered the father. So this was a serious shaila. Let's say a couple are unable to have children together, but if they go to a doctor, the doctor, for some reason or another, so the doctor will do artificial insemination from the husband to the wife. So that's a major shaila. Is the child Messiah after the father? The father's a Kohen. So can the children duchen or not? The father's a Levi. Are the children Leviim or not? Do they get the second Aliyah? So it's not so muskum. I remember many years ago, there's an institute in Eretz Yisrael known as PUA. They work with people who have fertility problems, and they give you a guidance, al pi halacha. So the Sfardim have followed different poskim, and the Chassidish people follow a different poskim, and the Yeshivish people follow a different poskim. So they will give you a psak. You ask them, they will ask you, who is your poskim? And they'll tell you what Chacham Avadya said, what Amar Chalio says, and what the Rav Soloveitchik says. They'll give you each person, they'll give you a psak according to the poskim that that you want to follow. So they have every year during the week of Parsha Shmais, when the Chumash talks about Shifra Pua, so they have a conference, all day long conference, and they have speaker after speaker after speaker all day long. Every 25 minutes, every speaker has only 20 minutes, 25 minutes to speak, and they have people, and they always write up, they publish all of the presentations that were given, and they have a lot of speakers. So it happened a few times, two or three times, I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael during the week of Parsha Shmais, visiting all the different yeshivas for YU, so they found out about it. So they got me to speak a few times at their conference. So remember, one occasion I was speaking. So I was saying that there are many poskim who are of the opinion that if you have artificial insemination, the child doesn't relate to the father. He's related to the mother, that's his mother. But al pi din, has no father. So there was a young fellow, this was maybe 20 years ago, at least 15, 20 years ago. So there was a young fellow in the audience, a yeshivish person. So he came over to me after I spoke. He ran out. They had another speaker after me, another speaker. They had one speaker after the other. He came out. He was very upset. He said, Rabbi Shlomo, so he has children from his own wife, but he had to have assistance from the doctor for some reason or another. So he's very indignant. He said, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman told me my children can duchen. He's a kohen, told me my children can duchen. So I said, okay. I told you that's the din, sure. I was saying other poskim say like this. So then 15 years go by. So about 5 years ago, the children are already bar mitzvah, and now they're duchening. So now this fellow sees me. He forgot already that he once was upset. And he sees me and he says, you know, my children duchen, but I'm wondering, so many poskim say that they're not kohanim. He raises the issue himself. He started looking at the poskim. It's not so poshut that the children are follow their father. It's a question regarding Kohen Levi. Maybe the children are not Kohanim. It's a question, let's say I know a couple, they have two children, both from the husband to the wife, their own children, but they had to have a doctor's assistant, they had artificial insemination. So it's a question the husband should live. I may have asked him Shana, when he dies, are the children related to him? Maybe they're not, maybe al pidin is no yachas to the father, maybe his wife needs chalitza, if he has a brother, maybe his wife needs chalitza. A lot of people don't realize that, they don't even think. There was another couple told me, another family told me, there was a couple years ago, they couldn't have children, so they adopted two children. So the father died at the age of 95, the mother was close to 95, So one of the sons was a learned fellow, so he wanted his mother to have chalitza. She never had any children. She adopted two children. So his stepbrother, I guess, his other brother who was adopted, what are you bothering mommy? Mommy's over 90. She's not interested in remarrying. So this fellow, he knew it. Chalitza is a mitzvah. It's not just a matter, it's a mitzvah. Tosis points this out, that on the level of the Raisa, there is no such thing as L'chatchila B'riyevet. L'chatchila the get should be written like this, but B'riyevet it's good like that. L'chatchila shouldn't cook in a treif a pot, but B'riyevet it doesn't make treif because the shishim or tzein ben yom or whatever. So such tane b'din, such a din that L'chatchila shouldn't do, B'riyevet it's mutter, it's a dead giveaway that it's only midirabbanan. Only in the area of a mitzvah. In the mitzvah, you have a mitzvah b'shleimus, you have a mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. So mitzvahs, you can have l'chatchila b'riyevet. Let's say a korban chatos. Being a korban chatos, so the mizbeach has four corners. So l'chatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus, to do the zvikas adam on all the four corners on the mizbeach. And b'riyevet, if you only did zvika on one of the four corners, so we pass on like this hillel and the mishnah, that it's kosher b'riyevet. You yotze the mitzvah in an incomplete form. Or tzitzis, the mitzvah b'shleimus is tap tchelis and lovan, and there's a machlokes, and we pass on the b'riyevet, if you have tchelis without lovan, lovan without tchelis, you go to the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. Or if you have chalitza, so chalitza is a mitzvah, so l'chatchila, you have to have kriyas ha-psukim, they recite psukim, and then you have to do the chalitza, she takes off the right shoe, and then you have to have rikika, she's supposed to spit on the floor in front of the oven, and b'riyevet, we paskin, there are different opinions in the Tanaim, but you have to be paskin if you didn't do the kriyas ha-psukim, you didn't do the spitting, you just did the chalitzas ha-sandals, but you have to be the mitzvah, shalom b'shleimus. So Taisa says, the fact that by chalitza there's an inyan of l'chatchil and b'riyevet on the level of the raisa, is that give away the chalitza is a mitzvah, it's not just a matir. If it would have been a matir, how can you have a l'chatchil and raisa in the area of a matir? So you see that it's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah b'shleimus, mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. So this led many poskim to understand that chalitza is a mitzvah, even if the woman is not interested in remarrying, if it's only a matir. So if the woman is 95 years old, she's not interested in remarrying, so you don't need chalitza. But if you say chalitza is a mitzvah, so one could say it's only a mitzvah if you're interested in remarrying. You can say it's a mitzvah if you're not interested in remarrying. Rabbi Zalcharif has a volume of Shadash Shuvah, it's called Emek Yehoshua. So this is the first shuvah in his sefer. He thinks that chalitza is a mitzvah, even if you're not interested in remarrying. You look in Ebenezer, it's a machloikis in the Achreinim. So the son wanted his mother to have chalitza. He wasn't a natural son. A couple weren't able to have children for some reason or another. And the father died at the age of 95. Mother was close behind. She was also in her 90s. So she really needs chalitza. She never had any children. The brother, the surviving brother, was also in his 90s. Also an older gentleman. But still it's a mitzvah to do chalitza. So his brother screamed at him. Wouldn't let him. So this is also a problem. If you have a couple only have children through artificial insemination from the husband. But biologically, it is. Genetically, they are his children, for sure. But al pi halacha, many poskim are of the opinion that the child is not mesiaches after the father. Elochumre, it's a question when you look in Ebenezer, at the end of Simen Aleph, they raise this issue. So the Chalkas Mechoykeg and the Beishmol, the two standard commentaries on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch, they both quote the same sources that they think that even if the man and the woman were not intimate and she became pregnant without, in the days of the Gemara they had such a rare case also that the children are mesiaches to their father. So the Taz on the page and the Birkei Yosef from the Chidor, they're not so convinced. They say lechumre, yeah, but not lekula. You can't be mekel based on that. So let's say a brother and a sister shouldn't marry each other. If they have through artificial insemination a boy and a girl, so there we should be machmen to treat them like a brother and a sister. They shouldn't marry each other. But to say l'hokel that the mother does need chalitza, that's highly questionable. So it's really a big it was really a big machlokes, a shaila for Yerusha also, whether the children yarshin the father or not. Yerusha is not exactly the same. In halacha, we have two different types of kurva. You have relatives. Relatives are called share basar. In Parshas Achrimos, Kedoshim, you have Achrimos, you have the prohibitions of Gilei Arayos, and in Kedoshim, you have the punishment, the koris, but the misa. So the expression used in the Chumash is Ishish or Kol Share Basar, La Sikavu, La Gala Serva. So relatives, both from the father's side and the mother's side, are considered relatives, that's called share basar. But the Gemara has a cloud based on the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to take a census of the Jewish people. So it says, Baruch Shalom wants, we should know how many people there are in each shevet, And if you have a mixed marriage, the husband is from one shevet, the wife is from another shevet, so how do you determine the status of the children? So the Chumash uses the expression, the second and the third pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar says, L'mishpachosim l'beis avosam. So the Gemara in Yesh Nochlan says, Mishpacha sab kriyim, Mishpacha, Mishpacha say meine kriyim, Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a technical term that means relatives from the father's side. Sheh Basav is relatives from the father's side or the mother's side. So as far as Gilei Arayis is concerned, the Chumash has different. The relatives, it's not always parallel. Let's say, if I have, I'm not allowed to marry my aunt. So my aunt by marriage, let's say my uncle's wife is my aunt by marriage, so that's only also if that's on the father's side. It's on the mother's side, it's takamuta. So there are slight differences between shebasa, the father's side, and the mother's side. But both from the father's side and the mother's side, it's considered shebasa. As far as Yerusha is concerned, so the Gemara has the pasuk in Parshas Nachlis. And you have in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, the story about Benoit Slavchad, and then the Moshe Rabbeinu runs through all the dinim of Yerusha. So the Chumash has the expression, Mimishpachta v'yarashoysa. So let's say a person dies and he has cousins. He has no children, he has no uncles, he has cousins from the mother's side, from the father's side. So only the cousins from the father's side get Yerusha. The cousins from the mother's side don't get Yerusha. Because Yerusha depends on Mishpacha, it doesn't depend on Sher Basa. So it could be that there's a difference over here by artificial insemination. We don't have any sources in the Gemara that clarify this. Could be that even if one should assume that there is an issue, Kroivim, through artificial insemination, there is a kurva from the father. Could be it's only a kurva of Shebas. It could be it's not a kurva of Mishpacha. It's not clear. It's not clear how far you go. And even if, let's say, the man who died has a brother who was born through artificial insemination. Now we have already, it's since over 100 years that they're doing artificial insemination. So let's say they have artificial insemination, he has a brother. So that's questionable whether the brother can do chalitza. Let's say they're two brothers. So one brother was born normally, one brother was born through artificial insemination. Is that really considered his brother to be able to do chalitza? So there's room to distinguish. Not all the dinim necessarily have to be the same. There's room to distinguish between arayas and yerusha and yibum and chalitza. Not necessarily all the same. If you have a situation where they do IVF, in vitro fertilization, that's a bigger question. In vitro fertilization means that they take an egg from the woman and they take the zera from the husband, let's say, and then they fertilize it in a test tube, I guess, and then after it's fertilized, then they put it into the womb. So there, the Tzitz Eliezer and other poskim say, even if one should assume that by artificial insemination, the child is misachas after the father, but by in vitro fertilization, that's so much more removed from the natural way, there's room to argue the point that the child is not even related to the mother. Child, there's room to say the child has no father, has no mother. They're not so convinced that the child. Question is, the child is related to the mother because the mother carried the baby for 9 months and she gave birth, or because she became pregnant. She became pregnant from the beginning. Ishikis has really all those off. Maybe she has to be related from the beginning to the end. Maybe it's not enough the last 8.5 months. Maybe
if we go so far, can't we then ask if he's a Ben Yisrael altogether?
Exactly. That'll be a problem. We assume that the child is determined as a Jewish person if his mother is Jewish. Adam Arishan was a human being, even though Rabban Shalom, he didn't have a mother. Adam Arishan was not born from a mother, but that's the one exception to the rule. Adam, his name was Adam, okay? Rabban Shalom said he's Adam. But after Adam Arishan, that's the question. Is the person considered a human being if he wasn't born from a mother? And over here, if you say that the child's not related to the mother, not related to the father, so then he may not be a human being. You know, being a human being. It's a question. If he is a human being, maybe he's not. We assume he is. We assume he is related to the mother. But some poskim are not so convinced that he's related to the mother. So maybe he's not a person. Maybe he's considered like a balchai. It's very unclear. They don't really have sufficient evidence from Gemaras to indicate one way or the other. If you have. There is a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara has a. The Gemara talks about the style of the Gemara. They talk about abstract cases, even if it's never going to come up in 1,000 years. The Gemara discusses it. So the The Gemara discusses the following case. 10 Kohanim, all bona fide Kohanim, and one of them has relations with a Jewish girl. None of them are married to the girl. We don't know who had relations with the girl. And then the girl became pregnant. So the child is obviously a Kohen, because the father is either one of the 10 Kohanim is the father of the child. But since you don't know who's who, so the Gemara said, Sedin mid Rabbanon, that the child is not allowed to be makav karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. Achumer mid Rabbanon. Why? Because it says, the kohanim is given to Aaron, a bon of Lazaro Acharov. Zarach Misha Zar Miyuchas Acharov. It's a Gemara Yavamas on Dav Kuf. Zain Zar Miyuchas Acharov said, there's a chumer mid Rabbanon that the child is posel lahakrovis karbonis. It's only mid the Rabbanon, but we usually have a rule called the Tikkun Rabbanon came the Raisa Tikkun. All the Dinim the Rabbanon, the pattern after Dinim the Raisa. So what in the world can possibly be the Din the Raisa over here? This drasha is only an asmach, the Zara Achman, the Zara Miyuchan. So what's the Din the Raisa? So the Ravid has comments on the side of the Rambam, and he has comments on the side of the Rif also. And in the Vilna Shasta, have it printed in Yavamas, there is a Gemara in Daf Mem Hei. The Gemara discusses, unfortunately, we live in a generation the Shaila comes up all the time. The father of the child is a Kohen, the father of the child is a non-Jew, and the mother is Jewish. So there's a Machloikas HaTanoim, different opinions. In the days of the Tanoim, there were different opinions. So there was one opinion that either the father or the mother, being Jewish, makes the child into a Jew. But the Reform have adopted in recent years that sheet existed in the days of the Tanoim. It was outvoted 2,000 years ago. But there was such an opinion. Then there was an opinion, indeed, both the father and the mother have to be Jewish in order that the child should be Jewish. And the third opinion, we don't pass them like that either. And the third opinion is what it says in the Mishnah, that it all depends on the mother. There was never a fourth opinion that it should all depend on the father. That's the only opinion that really makes sense. If you have a mixed marriage, and the father's a Kohen or a Levi, or from Shevet Zvulun, and the mother's not a Kohen, whatever, so the pasuk says the mishpacha isim leveis avosim. It's all determined by the father. So when it comes to a mixed marriage, when you have one parent is Jewish, one is not, that was never an opinion. Why not? That should be the only opinion. It should all depend on the father. So the answer probably is that pashta said. So some say, historians, they say because the goyim would often rape a Jewish woman. So you would never know whether the child was born from the Goyish father, from the Jewish father. So that's why the rabbis didn't want to say it depends on the father. That's not correct. That's not correct because to establish whether a non-Jew, we have a halacha distinguishes between different non-Jews. We don't just say there are Jews and the non-Jews. The rest of the world is non-Jews. We have special dina for Amon Amoyov. We have special dina for Mitzvi Redoimi. We have special dina for Amalek. We have special dina for the Zainumis, the Sinim. So what if you have a mixed marriage? So what does the halacha say? So the halacha says, "Lemish b'chosim leveis avosim." It depends. Just like if you have a mixed marriage where the both parents are Jewish, so the status of the child is established by the father. Koyin Levi shevet zvulun shevet yisachar. So if you have a mixed marriage where both parents are non-Jewish, the status of one is an Amoni and one is an Amaleki, and one is a Chiti Amor Prizi and one is a Mitzri Vadoimi or something. So the Gemara says that the status of the child is determined by the father. By the non-Jews, there's more preaches going on. There's more rapes and more preaches going on. And still the rabbi said that it depends on the father. So why wasn't there a fourth opinion if there are already three logical possibilities? Well, it depends to establish the status of the child as Jewish. They need both parents to be Jewish, either parent to be Jewish. Only depends on the father, only depends on the mother. So how come there never was a fourth opinion? It should all depend on the father. And all the dinim will be the same. Like if both parents are Jewish, it depends on the father. Both parents are non-Jewish, it depends on the father. Why did they split? So the answer is because there's an institution of Geirus. The Geir is not related. He's not a Mishpachas HaYehudim. His father's not Jewish, his mother's not Jewish. So you can't say that being Jewish, Jewishness depends on what Mishpacha you belong to. It wouldn't be possible to have a Geir. So the fact that Avraham Avinu was told already, Nivruchu v'chol kol mishpacha yisro adoma, and the Mefarsh Mekzumayim, Nivruchu miyadoshan havrocha, that havrocha means when you graft one branch from one tree onto another tree, that's called havrocha. So Avraham Avinu was told already, the non-Jews may intermarry with the Jewish people, they'll convert, they'll join the Jewish family, and they'll join. So that's not mishpacha, the ger is Jewish. So it can't be a function of Mishpacha. It's a question, who is a member of Kalal Yisrael? Who is a member of this nation? So the Tanaim assume that that can't be governed with the Pasuk Mishpachosim Leveis Havosim. It's not a function of Mishpacha. So they had a machloikas. So already, Tosis writes like that, and the same daf in Yevamos, on Tef Tazainam and Beis, with the other Tosis that Rabbi Yosef Engel quoted, that the Mamzeris, in order to create a Mamzer, you don't even have to violate any Averif. Just have a father and a mother who couldn't have had Tvisis Kiddushin, the child is a Mamzer. It's on the same daf. In Tosis, there's another Tosis on the same Tazainam and Beis, another Tosis on the same daf, where Tosis says that there were in the days of the Gemara, there were three opinions. Whether the child is established as being Jewish, either the father or the mother, you need both the father and the mother, it all depends on the mother. So Rabbi Kevegar asks, where did Tosis find that there are three opinions? And the Mishnah only says one thing, and it all depends on the mother. Where did Tosis get this that there are other opinions? So the Chazon Ish has a short essay, has a short paragraph on Yevamos, and that Dafi shows Beferishi Gemara. So what is Rabbi Kevegar so surprised? In the Mishnah gives you the maskana. We pass on Aloch, it all depends on the mother. But in the days of the Tanaim, the Gemara says clearly that there were other opinions, that it depends on both parents being Jewish or on one parent being Jewish. So the Gemara has a discussion in Yevamos Daf Mem Hey. If the father, a girl was born, the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish. So the Gemara has a suffix, if the girl is permitted to marry a Kohen. A Gioris is not allowed to marry a Kohen. But here the girl is not a Gioris, the mother was Jewish. But the father's a non-Jew, so why should she not be allowed to marry a Kohen? What's the issue over here? So some commentaries, the Marshals, thinks that the whole Gemara is only a discussion with the Rabban. On the level of the Raisa, there's no issue. We don't accept that Marshal. Most of the Poskim say against the Marshal that it's a Din Daraisa, and the Rabban writes explicitly that it's a Din Daraisa. And this Gemara that says, if you have 10 Kohanim and one of them was intimate with the girl and had a child, you don't know who the father is, so that din mid the Rabbanon, so the Rabbi said, that's called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came there, I said, Tikkun, that's pattern after this din is a din deraisa. What's the din deraisa? A Kohen has to marry a girl who's a miyucheses. What's haste miyucheses? She has a father. You mean a Kohen can't marry a Yisayma? No, the Yisayma has a father, the father passed away. But if the girl has a father who's not Jewish, so the father is not related. You can, there is no kurva, there is no yachas between a Jew and a non-Jew. So al-pidin, biologically, that's her father, but al-pidin, she has no father, so the girl only has a mother, she has no father. So that's a din. A kohen is not allowed to marry a girl who doesn't have a father, like a gioris. Why is a kohen not allowed to marry a gioris? What's wrong? So the Talmud Farshim get different pshatim, the nachrim ashtuf ezima, different azayna, different explanation. The rabbi says no. He's not allowed to marry a Gioris because she doesn't have a father. She doesn't have a father or a mother. Not that she has a father and both parents passed away. She's not related at all. Biologically, she has a father and a mother. But al-pidin, she's not miyuchesis at all. There's no yachas between the father and the child.
But the Rif holds this girl as mutter. The Rif holds this girl as mutter. The Rif.
The Ramam, the Rif writes, it's a sveka d'dina. And the Ashkenazim follow that psak, that the father is a Nochri and the mother is Jewish, it's a Sveka Adina, so she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. The Rambam paskens Lohaka. Usually the Rambam follows the Rif, here he doesn't follow the Rif. The Rif writes it's Sveka Adina, so the paskens say, according to the Rif, it's awesome. But the Rambam holds that it's Mutta. So Chacham Avadya always paskens Mutta. So the Ashkenazim all know the shtick. If you want to marry a Kohen, wants to marry a girl whose father is a guy, so you go to ask Chacham Avadya. And he'll tell you that it's mutter. That's not right. You have to ask the Pesach who paskins. It's not right. Chacham Avadya should paskin for Ashkenazim like that. They printed a biography of Chacham Avadya. Yosef, Yosef, I think it's called from Yosef Karatero, Chacham Avadya Yosef. I think it's called Mimora not Moron. I think that's what it's called. Mimora not Yosef, but Moron Chacham Avadya. So they say that Rav Avadya Yosef read through the whole biography and he agreed with everything that it said there. So they have there, one of the things they have there, that in the early years of the Medina, so they had to put together the Rabbanut, they had to put together Bati Dinim. Ben Gurion said that all the Vinyana issues should be taken care of by the Rabbanut. Otherwise you're going to split Klal Yisrael. We won't be able to marry half of the Jews. They're going to be Mamzerim, they're going to be Chalolim, it's going to be terrible. So Ben Gurion, who claimed that he was an atheist, that's what he writes in his autobiography. He said, maybe he was a liar, maybe he wasn't an atheist. But that's what he writes, he's an atheist. But he realized this is going to rip apart the Klal Yisrael. So he established that the Rabbanot should be in charge of all inyani issues. So in the early years of the Rabbanot, the Svarim didn't have big Tamir Chacham. That's taked a lot due to Chacham Avadya. He made them learn and he gave them smicha and he made them into big Tamir. They have now, they have a lot of Svarim, big Tamir Chacham. Salman before Chacham Avadya, Salman learned in Panovich, Panovich Erov, took everybody in, he took in a lot of Svarim. Panovich Yeshiva wasn't, there was half Svarim, half Ashkenazim. They had everybody there. So in the later years, now they have a lot of Svarim and the Rabbanot, big Talmid HaChacham, but in the early years, they weren't the Svarim. So they were all Talmidim of the Chazanish, or they were all from Litvish Yeshivas. So the Rabbanut used to force Ashkenazi Psak on the Svarim. So they quote Chacham Avadya said, Kasher Asu Ken Yosu Lo. So now that we have Svardish Rabbanim, so we're going to force Svardi Psak on the Ashkenazi. So they said that he read the whole book and he agreed with everything that it said. I think that's very condemning. They did wrong in the beginning and they're doing wrong now. I know my father was a Masada Gittin for many years for the RCA. My father used to be the coordinator of the Bezin. So they had a whole list of Rabbanim who would be Masada Gittin. So my father was always there, so they always had two Masada Gittin. I never get had two Masada Gittin to make sure that no mistakes were made. So whenever there would be a couple who would be Svardim, the Svardim spell the names differently, and the Svardim had a different text than they get. So whenever the couple would be Svardim, so they would write a Svardish get. You don't write an Ashkenazi get for Svardim. You have to write the, you have to give a psak appropriate for the people. Let's say in Hilchas Taras HaMishpacha also, that by Polish they have certain psakim, by Galatiana they have different psakim, by Ungarisha they're different, by Yek is different. So I remember there was a Talmud Chacham in my neighborhood. So he would say, what's your background? What's your family background? If you have a shot, he's going to give you the psak according to what your family background is. He's going to give you a Polish psak, I'll give you an Ungarish psak, and so on. So it's not right. It's not right. Chacham Avadya used to do that. He knew that a lot of times people who came to ask mashalas for Ashkenazim, and they already shopped around by all the Ashkenazi rabbanim, and they said it's asur, and he would tell them that it's mutter. I think that that's not proper. He should never have given these kulas to them. So this is one of the issues, that he would be different from everybody else. All the Ashkenazi Rabbanim say, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Ramban. Ramban on Daf Mem Hei and Yevamos. Ramban says that if the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish, if they have a daughter, so the daughter is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So the Ramban says, but in this is Lo Teitze. She already did that get married. So you don't force him to get divorced. So it's the question, what does that mean? A b'dieved it's mutter, or you can't force it to get divorced, because it may be a get, it may be the get will be puzzle, because maybe we have no right to be koy for him, because maybe it's mutter. It's a sophic in the Gemara, it's an ibay the loyev shita. So the Pesach Yitzchur and Ebenezer says, and this is like it doesn't mean it's also lechatzchil b'dieved it's mutter. It's also b'dieved also. We tell a guy, you should really divorce your wife, but we're not koy for him to divorce his wife, because it could be that it's a get mu'usa shaloi kedin. That's what it means. So there was one of the rabbanim who took a rabbinical position in Brookline in Massachusetts. Rabbi Soloveitchik was already old, and he took a position, and so he tells me the one and only shayla that he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik was this. Then Rabbi Soloveitchik was already so old he couldn't, it was the last years of his life. So he said the president of the shul, I think the president of the shul, had a son who was learning in Eretz Yisrael, the year in between high school and college, and he met a girl, maybe after college, I don't know, probably after college, and he met a girl. The president was a Kohen, the son was a Kohen, and he met a girl who's from a girl, but the father was not Jewish and the mother was Jewish. So he wanted to marry the girl, he got engaged, and then he found out that it's a shayla. So they told him that Chacham Avadya said it's mutter, so he was going to marry the girl. So they wanted the rabbi from the shul should be Masada Kiddush. So the rabbi said he can't be Masada Kiddush, and for Ashkenazim it's also, he can't be Masada Kiddush. But since it says in Shulchan Aruch that b'dieved im nisus leteitze, if they got married, enough to get divorced, so the rabbi thought, maybe he'll come to the dinner. B'dieved, you won't be there by the chuppah, you're not allowed to participate in the chuppah because you're not allowed to get married, but b'dieved, once they get married, so b'dieved is loiteitze, so he'll come to the dinner. So he asked Rabbi Soloveitchik about his hamtzor. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, no, whoever comes to the dinner, even if you don't say mazel tov, implicitly you're all wishing mazel tov, and they married the Isser, and he says, I have 18 cases in the last 3 years, and they're all the same, and it's Usser, Ashkenazim, all that it's Usser, and it's not right that that the Sfaradim gave him a heter. It's not that Bidi Ebed, it's Mutter. It's, and this is Leitetze, because you can't be Koifa on the get. Yeah, so the Rabbit writes interesting. The Rabbit writes on Yevamos on Daf Mem Hei, at the bottom of the Rif, he says, a Giyoris is not allowed to marry a Kohen, not because of Zayna. Has not the Rabbit on the Rambam also writes like that. The Rambam writes a Giyoris falls under the category of Zayna. So the Rabbit says, why is she a Zayna? Has nothing to do. So it's a Pasuk in Yecheskel. Kim Sulas Mizera Beis Lo Yikro Yisho. The Pasuk in Yecheskel means a different thing. A Kohen is not a Pasuk in Chumash Dibre Kabbalah. It's not a Dindera, it's Dibre Kabbalah. Dibre Kabbalah means a Dindera Bonon that has the approval of the Ruach HaKodesh, because it appears in the Vim of Ksum Dibre Kabbalah, Kedibre Torah Damyan. So a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Giyoris because she doesn't have Alpidin, she doesn't have a father. So the Rabbit says that here also she doesn't have. If the father is a Nochri and the mother is Jewish, so Alpidin, she's not really, biologically she has a father, but Alpidin, she's not related to the father. So he's not allowed to marry the girl, that's a Dindera. And this case in the Gemara about the Asura Kohanim, a Pirush Echemehem, that's a Din Rabbanon, that's called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Deraisa Tikkun. That's patterned after the Din Deraisa. That itself is not a Din Deraisa. So some of the recent poskim are of the opinion, even if one should assume that artificial insemination, the children are Mesiachas after the father, the children are Kohanim or Leviim, but if it's IVF, then there's more reason to say the children are not Mesiachas after the father. And some even go so far to say they are not so convinced the children are Mesiachas after the mother. You say, so there'll be a question whether the child is a human being or not. And a question whether they do this every day. Ma'asim l'chayim, IVF. And even if the child is a human being, question, is he Jewish or not? Al Pidin, he doesn't have a mother. Wow.
Can he become a ger?
What?
Can he become a ger?
We assume he is a human being. That's the question. Why? He can become a ger. If you assume he's a human being, he can become a ger. Yeah. He can always become a ger. That is true.
Who are telling them to be Magaya and they're going to be usher to a Kohen right now?
A girl.
Yeah.
The alternative is that she may not be Jewish, because your status as a Jew is based on the fact that your mother is Jewish. But if you don't have a mother, al pi din, so you can't say the person is Jewish. Even if you assume that is a human being, but she has no mother to make her Jewish. That's really, when you study Shulchan Aruch, that's a machloikis. The child is related to the mother, has to be from the beginning to the end, from the fertilization till the baby is born, or no, the last couple months, the later, the mother who carried the baby. So that's really, the Shach thinks you need from the beginning to the end. And he disagrees with other poskim. So that's not so poshut.
You
all
haven't
the,
told us of what you...
Pardon me?
You haven't told us what you would come down on.
I've never asked the Yishaynas, Baruch Hashem. They asked the Yishaynas to people in Eretz on their Rabbanu. What's a big debate now, this comes up in America all the time, is if you take the egg from one woman and you fertilize it with the sperm of another man and then you implant it in a different woman. So the genetic mother is one person and the mother, the birth mother, is a different woman. She's carrying the baby for 8.5 months. So let's say one of them is Jewish, one of them is not Jewish. So is the child Jewish or not? Would you need Geirus or not? And if you need Geirus, so the Gemara talks about converting little infants. We have the right to convert an infant. Ger Katan, Madbi L'Mosel Adaz Bezdin. That's based on the principle of Zochen Li'Adam Shloi B'Fon. We assume that we're doing the child a favor by converting the child. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was of the opinion, I think that was the majority opinion in Europe, that it's only considered Zochen Li'Adam, it's only doing the child a favor if it's going to be brought up by religious parents. If it's going to be brought up by non-observant parents, not going to keep Shabbos, not going to keep Kasha, not going to keep any mitzvahs, it's Hashem Besser to remain a non-Jew. Why do you think it's better to be Jewish? So that was a big machloikis in Europe. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan was a major poysik. He died in the late 1800s. So he was of the opinion that it's not a schus unless the adoptive parents are going to be observant and they're going to give a Jewish education to the child. And that's how Rabbi Soloveitchik was of that opinion. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein thinks not so. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes, it's a schus to be a Jew, even it's a bigger schus to be a Jew, even if you're not observant, rather than to be a non-Jew. But that was a major point of disagreement. The Sfida Yesh is a collection of tshuvas by Weinberg, Rabbi Weinberg, who was in Hildesheimer Seminary before the war, and after the war he lived in Switzerland. So a lot of his Shuvos were written before the war. That's why it's called Shvita Yeshu. It was remained. The Shuvos remained through. They weren't burnt by the Nazis. So he writes that it was a chutzpah on the, he writes in his Shuvah, it was a chutzpah on the part of the rabbi of Frankfurt to disagree with the Yitzchak Hanna. The Yitzchak Hanna said it's not a schus unless the parents who are adopting are going to be observant, they're going to raise the child as observant, a Jew. And the rabbi in Frankfurt, who was a lower level Talmid Chacham, disagreed. Not from the Breuers. When they ousted the Breuers, dynasty, they had a different rabbi. So he disagreed. So it's really a right, so it's chutzpah on his part. The accepted opinion was like Rabbi Yitzchak Hanna, like Rabbi Soloveitchik said. But it's only a chutzpah. So you have sometimes you have like this. It's not surrogate mother. You have one woman donates an egg and another woman carries the child. So the one who's donated the egg is not Jewish, and one who's carrying the baby is Jewish. So do we say the genetic mother determines, establishes the status of the child? Do you say the birth mother? Or do you say both mothers? In Purim Torah, they always used to say that there's a contradiction between the two psukim and the Megillah Esther. What was the name of Achashverosh's mother-in-law? So it says one pasuk is Hamas HaMelech Shachacha. The mother, no, Hamas HaMelech means the anger of the king. So the Hamosa means the mother-in-law. So in Yiddish folklore, they say in the Purim Torah, they say one person Hamas HaMelech Shachacha, the other person Hamas HaMelech Barabo. So how can it be? What was the name of the mother-in-law? So the answer is Gam Vashti Yosef Mishtei Noshim. Vashti had two mothers. So that was always known as the Purim Torah, that the Vashti had two mothers. So that's what the poskim are not so convinced. They say if one mother donates the egg and the other mother carries the baby, maybe the child has two mothers. Maybe the child's not allowed to marry the brother if they're both Jewish. The mother who donated the egg and the mother who carries the egg, maybe he's not allowed to marry a sister from this mother from that mother. Maybe they're both mothers. Maybe so. There are not enough rayas from Gemaras to indicate what the din is. The rayas that they bring are very flimsy. So we treat this as a real suffix. We treat it as a suffix, and then if one is one mother is Jewish, one mother is not Jewish, but we'd require geiris. You require geiris, so it has to be that the family who's going to raise them is going to be religious. So some rabbanim say, but if the child is going to be suffix Jewish, suffix goy, so you can't marry a Jew, can't marry a goy. So you're doing a teva to the child by converting the child. Even if it's going to be non-observant, but you're doing a teva to the child, so it's badai Jewish. That's very not compelling. That's not, some prominent rabbanim say like that. If the child is going to be a Suffolk Jew, Suffolk Goy, because the rabbanim are not sure, so the child can't marry at all. So it's certainly a schus. The pashtus is that the schus involved in ger kotem ad bilamos al dasbez, when you convert a little baby, the schus is that every ger really needs kabbalas on mitzvahs. So they have a little infant. The infant doesn't know anything about anything. Doesn't understand the yonim. So how can you be megayer an infant if you're lacking kabbalah samitz? You're going to do the bris. If it's a boy, going to be tovel the baby in a mikveh, whether it's a boy or a girl. But how do you have the kabbalah samitz? So the answer is, you do zochin on the kabbalah samitz. But if there isn't going to be any kabbalah samitz, it's not zuchus. It's better for the person. Like some rabbanim and Eretz say, in Eretz Yisrael, you're in a better position if you're Jewish, because you can get a high position in the government, you can get a higher position in the army. If you're not Jewish, you can't move, you can't become the prime minister. It's just not going to go. You can't become high in the army either, because they're not going to trust you. So in Eretz they say, it's a zochem adam shlevefanov to convert an infant, even if the parents are going to be raising the child, they're not going to be observant. So that's very questionable. The pashtus said, that's not zochem. Geiris is not a, conversion is not a social halacha. It's a din of Kabbalah. It's Kabbalah on mitzvah. You have to have Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So the Zochna and the Shlavifana means that the Bezdin says that it's a schus. We're saying that there is Kabbalah on mitzvahs. But if you know in advance, the parents are not going to raise the child as an observant Jew.
Moshe
doesn't say it. Moshe is not so. Moshe helped. There were many. I remember my father, the rabbinic alumni of YU used to have, they still have conferences every so often. So they once had a conference about geiris. So my father used to do, at that time the RCA didn't do, Rabbinical Council of America didn't do any conversions at all. So whenever a case came from conversions, it had to be done privately by someone. So my father used to do a lot of times conversions. So my father spoke at a rabbinical alumni conference. So my father said he doesn't think that it's a schus. At that time, they didn't know what Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion was. They found out later that he held it's only a schus if the parents are going to raise the child as an observant Jew. So my father presented that position. So Rabbi Yosef Weiss, who just passed away a couple of years ago, he lived in the neighborhood, he held like Rabbi Moshe Fein. What do you mean? It's always better to be a Jew even if you're an Avarian. It's a big schus to be Jewish even if you're not going to be observant. But Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion was not so. The Pashto says that the Zochin is for the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So if you know in advance, there's no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So what kind of a Zochin is it? That's a big issue. So that's an Eretz Yisrael, it's a big machlokes among the Rabbanim. If the one who the genetic mother who gave the egg is not Jewish, let's say, the one who's carrying the baby for 8.5 months is Jewish, so it's a big machlokes whether the child needs gerus or not. And either side, both of them have interesting positions, but they're not enough sources in the Gemara to give a psak. You can't make up a psak from thin air. You have to have sources in the Gemara. We don't have enough sources from the Gemara. So that's really a sfeika d'dina. And to say that you're doing the child a taiva by making him into a vadai Jew rather than to remain a suffix Jew, now he can marry, but it's not a zochin in the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. I thought it wasn't correct. The prominent Rabbanim say like that in Eretz Yisrael in America, but I was not convinced at all. I didn't think that was correct. There is a Gemara in Chagiga, in the second paragraph in Chagiga. The Gemara talks about a besula who became pregnant. So the Pashto Pshat, the Gemara is talking about the Mother Mary. So I got it there. The Gemara is not talking about a halacha. What's the din? We're talking about the Christians. They believe that the Mother Mary became pregnant without immaculate conception. There was no child. So that's the Pashto Pshat. And I got it there. So there's Rabbeinu Hananel on the side of the page, on the Zayin and the Chagig. Rabbeinu Hananel says, no, the Gemara is asking a Shaila in Halacha. If the woman, how can she become pregnant if she's a Besula? She was swimming in a swimming pool, and there was a man before. And medically, it's probably impossible to become the Sabra Bambati. But the Gemara talks about such a thing. If she became a Sabra, so what's the question? So the Pashto Pshat, the Gemara is talking about how do we deal with the Christians? What do we do with the Ramuna? They believe that the Mother Mary became pregnant without any human being. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says, no, the suffix of the Gemara is a Yoledes has to bring karbonis when you give birth to a baby, baby boy, baby girl. If it's a baby boy, you can bring the carbon after 40 days. A baby girl, you have to wait till after 80 days. So the pasuk says, Isha kis hazriya v'yolda zocha. So you need tazriya v'yolda zocha, you need both. So what if she became pregnant without being intimate with anybody? Does she have the carbon yoledes or not? Because the pasuk says, kis hazriya. So maybe it has to be the normal way. Maybe if it's in irregular fashion, maybe she doesn't bring the carbon. Today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and none of the women bring any carbonis. When the Beis HaMikdash will be built, we had 9 babies, and my wife will have to bring 9 sets of carbonis for each one of the babies. But the issue is relevant for us, Bizban HaZeh, as follows. The Gemara Masechus Shabbos has 24 prokim, Masechus Shabbos. Shabbos is like a kala. So in the days of Tanakh, a kala used to wear 24 pieces of jewelry. I don't know exactly where. Where do you put 24 pieces of jewelry? But they did it. They had 20. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, instead of making 30 prokim, like Nezikin has 10 prokim, Baba Kamba, Baba Metzia, Baba Basa has 30 prokim, or Kalim, Baba Kamba, Baba Metzia, Baba Basa, you have 30 prokim, and Kalim, so they could have made 30 prokim in Shabbos also. They made 24 prokim. So one of the prokim is all about Bris Mila on Shabbos and Bris Mila in general. So the Gemara has a Shaila. It says in the Chumash that you do the bris on the 8th day, it says in conjunction with the bringing of the carbon. On the 8th day, after the Bayam HaShmini Yimbol B'sar Allah, so then it says, after the 40 days are up, if it's a boy, after the 80 days are up, if it's a girl, then the Yoledes brings the carbon. So it's a machloikis in the Gemara. The bris you perform on the 8th day, that's called Mila Bizmana. If you do the Mila on the 8th day, Mila Bizmana is Decha Shabbos, Decha Yontif. If it's not a Mila Bizmana, if the bris had to be postponed, you're not allowed to do one on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do one on Yom Tov. So the Gemara has a machlokes. What if what if the mother is not the, she gave birth to a baby through a cesarean delivery, and the mother is not obligated to bring the korban yoledes. That's called yotzei doifen, cesarean delivery. And the Mishnah, there's a perek yotzei doifen, maseches nidah. So we, there's a machlekes hatanaim, we pass on the yotzei doifen, the woman doesn't have the doors of tumah v'tara. If a woman gives birth to a baby naturally, so there, if it's a baby boy, there's 7 days he may tumah, and 3 days he may tara. If it's a baby girl, there are 14 days he may tumah, and 66 days he may tara, and then you bring the korban at the end. If it's a yotzei doifen, it's a cesarean delivery, so you don't, it's a nima tumah lady, you don't have the din. So there's a machlekes in the Gemara. In the Parsha and Chumash, in Parsha's Tazria, these two are put together, and one pasuk next to the other. The woman brings the korbanos and she's tamei leida, and the baby has the bris on the 8th day. So what if there was a cesarean delivery on a Shabbos? Is the bris derech Shabbos next week? So it's a sveika de dina, how we paskin. Whenever these two amoraim disagree, so the Gemara says we treat it like a sveika de dina. So you don't do the bris before the 8th day. The cesarean delivery was on Shabbos, but you don't do it on Shabbos either. You have to wait till Sunday. Because you're a mesupik. Maybe it does have a din of Shmini, so you shouldn't do the bris before the 8th day. And maybe it doesn't have a din of Shmini, because any mitmeh later, so you have to wait till Sunday. That's the din. Then the post can point out, not only cesarean, where they cut over here, and the baby doesn't come out from the same, from the base of rechem, the way it normally does. Sometimes there's a difficult delivery, and the doctor sees the woman is not going to, the baby is not going to be able to push sideways, the baby's not going to be able to come out. So he cuts on either side, he sticks his hands in, and he takes out the baby. That's also called the Yetzir Deifen. Yetzir Deifen means if the rechem didn't push out the baby. Sometimes the doctor puts his hands in, and he takes the baby out. So that also has the din. The recent poskim say, Sviriyesh and the Ragat Shav and others, they all write that that has the same status as the Yetzir Deifen. So that's not so infrequent. So the Rabbeinu Hanan learns on this Gemara, when the Gemara says they had a shaila about a besula became pregnant. So what was the shaila? So the Pashim Shat, they're talking about the Christian belief. Rabbeinu Hanan says, no, they're not sure if a girl became pregnant without being intimate with anybody, maybe the bris milah is not derech Shabbos. Maybe since it says in the Chumash, it's a package deal. Kishazveya v'yolda zochayini tazriya v'yolda. So the yolda was normal, the last 8.5 months was normal, but the tazria was it was irregular, the way she became pregnant. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to paskin, and Rabbi Yashiv also in the early years used to paskin that if you had artificial dissemination, so the baby boy was born on Shabbos, the bris is not derech Shabbos. He treated like a yotzei doifen. And we're not so convinced because the Rabbeinu Hananel interprets like that. No one else interprets like that. So why shouldn't we just forget about the Rabbeinu Hananel? The Shlomo Zalman uses the expression that the Bali Atosis use. Rabbeinu Hananel had traditions from the days of the Goyim, and called the Dvar of Dibri Kabbalah. He usually said, even when Rabbeinu Hananel says something that no one agrees with him, so Atosis has respect. We can't paskin against Rabbeinu Hananel because he had traditions from the days of the Goyim. So that's what Shlomo Zalman said. Yashiv also, they say, later in his life he changed the psak because it became so common. Artificial insemination became so common, so it became as if it's normal, it's irregular, regular already. But Shlomo Zalman for many years said that the bris is not derech Shabbos. One might have thought, if it's like a yetzer deifen, so there shouldn't be any pidyon haben. Let's say a baby is born through artificial insemination. So everything is, it's born normally. So if you have a yetzer deifen, so it's not called peterechem. So there's no pidyon haben at all. So over here, so Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, that pidyon haben, you need a peterechem, the leida should be normal. So here the leida was regular, just the becoming pregnant was irregular. Here the pasuk says, by shmini, in order to have the bris, that it should be derech Shabbos, says, ishi ki tazriya v'yolda zochi, you need, the leida should be normal, which it was, and you need tazriya should be normal. So if it's artificial insemination, so he said, that's irregular, so the bris should not be derech Shabbos. Yeah, these are some of the issues that are involved in these cases. What else is an issue?
Artificial
insemination when the woman was not able. Sometimes the best time to do the artificial insemination is the, according to her cycle, is before she goes to the mikveh. So that was a big machloikis. So some of the Gedolim from 100 years ago held that for sure you're not allowed to do that. It'll be a ben anida. A ben anida, the Gemara says, is a pogum. What do you mean pogum? You're not allowed to marry a kohen. Some Gedolim thought the Gemara has a lashon that ben anida is a pogum. Then the Gemara has an expression, if the girl is a pogum lakuna, means a kohen is not allowed to marry a girl who's a pogum lakuna. So that's what some of the Gedolim held years ago, that if you're going to do artificial insemination when the woman didn't go to mikveh, so we should. She's not a suah l'koyin. We don't hold like that. But one should avoid marrying such a girl. So Moshe Feinstein did away with that opinion. His opinion was accepted on this. He said, "Ben Anida, the vlad is a pogum, means if they violated the dinim, if they were intimate together, they violated. Here they weren't together. They just did the artificial insemination. If one can avoid it, you should avoid it. Or let's say, a lot of times we wait until you have shiva nikim. A lot of times the need for shiva nikim is only midirabbanan." In Chumash, the Shiva Nikim is only needed if the woman is a Zova. She's a Nida, you don't need Shiva Nikim. So many of the recent Poskim recommend if the woman has to have the artificial insemination before she goes to mikveh, if it's possible, she should go to mikveh after the 7 days are up of Yemei Nida, so at least she won't be a Nida Minatar, she'll only be Midirabbanan. So you'll avoid that. But if you can't, some Yikaradin, Rav Moshe really, his opinion I think was accepted on this, that's not called the Ben Anida. But on the means, if they violated the dinam of Taras HaMishpah, here they didn't violate anything. Yeah.
Would you also, instead of waiting 5 days, if the bleeding stops after 1 day, 2 days, count seven and then go? Would that accomplish anything? Or do we always wait for 7 days?
We usually ate 5 days and then seven days. So Hazanish used to be made called the fifth day, because Rabbi Yosef Kar says enough 4 days. And the Ramah says you need 5 days, it's a chumrah on top of a chumrah. So the Chazan should recommend they should only wait 4 days. Sometimes the 1 day difference solves the whole problem. Let's say sometimes a woman can't have a baby, she's not able to have a baby because it's 1 day off. It's 1 day off. So if it's only 1 day off, so there's room to be mekel on the fifth day. But often it's not 1 day off, often it's much more than 1 day off. Yeah. So these are some of the issues involved. When people have these issues, they should really consult a very learned Talmid Chacham to have guidance or contact the people from Puah. They have an office in New York also. They have qualified people. And they guide you through all of these things. Okay, we discussed all the issues.
You quoted saying that if a woman has relations with a goy that marries, that the vod is not a mamzer.
Right.
But the Tosfos with Esther, Karka Olam, brings Rabbeinu Tam, because Ramas Hasus, doesn't he say there that it's that she is, it is considered a mamzer? No, that the Tosfos Esther Karka Olam?
It's a mamzer.
We don't talk like that. What's the whole Tosfos on Esther Karka Olam, Rabbeinu Tam?
So he says she's muteres agutavach. Benatam holds that she's muteres to the boel, a Jewish woman during the Crusades, in order that they shouldn't kill her, so she converted and she lived with a goy. She never got a get from her husband. And then later on, the husband gave her a get because he's not allowed to live with her. She had an affair with a non-Jew. So then later on, the non-Jew converted. So the shayla was, and she asur the boel. So that was a big... I'm going to go to the next place. I'm going to go to the next place.